Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate you taking your time on your Sunday afternoon to your Sunday evening to join us. Jamal, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Enjoying the weather.
Well, that's good. That's good. We got a number of things we're going to talk to people about. Before we do that, well, let me start off by telling you, we're going to talk about the president's authority to send in these federal troops, Jamal. You know, this thing that's going on in Chicago, it's been 59, 60 days of straight violence out there, and he's getting tired of it. And I guess is what they're doing is questioning the fact whether or not he has the authority to do that. We're also going to be talking about the Second Amendment. The couple got arrested. I'm sure you heard the couple got arrested in St. Louis when they were brandishing those weapons on their own private property. So there we go with the Second Amendment argument again and the stand your ground law that, you know, people are upset about. But we're going to take one thing at a time. Before I get too far into this, if anybody wants to call. So remember, we're not in the studio. Because of everything going on with COVID-19 again. So it's a special number if you want to call. There's a number, meeting ID, and password. So get your cell phones ready that if you want to take a picture of this, I'm going to hold it up for about, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds. You'll be able to take a picture of it. And by the way, we are, if you go to LA Talk Radio and go on our Facebook, you will see us live. All right? You will see us live. So I'm going to hold this up. And so if you need to reach us, this is how you have to reach us. See if I can make that back far enough. Jamal, you can see that okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if anybody needs to reach us, that is the phone number that you call. That is the meeting ID, which is the second one. And then the password is the third one. So there's the phone number. Okay. There's the meeting ID. And there's the password. All right. So there you go. All right. And by the way, if you want to get on our emails blast, you know, about the upcoming show topics, just text Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address. Text Potts Associates and text that to 22828. Enter your email address and you will get the weekly topic that's going to be on there for that Sunday. All right. Listen, before we get started, I know we always talk about we're going to be talking about virtues because every week now we talk about virtues. And then we're going to talk about like if we do a blast or any of those kind of things. But before we get started, I want to tell you, I'm wearing my Yankee hat because we are saluting the fact that baseball is back in play. And Jamal, I believe the NBA is back in play as well. So yes, for those sports fans out there, we're back in motion.
And boxing.
And boxing. Okay. Now, but I do want to mention something else, and this is a public service address. You know, we were going over the numbers for COVID-19. California, so for you Californians, okay, especially, and those of you in Florida, the numbers are increasing for those two states. Please, everybody, wear your mask, do your social distancing, wash your hands. These numbers are getting out of control, and actually Texas as well. New York seems like they're doing much, much better. So that's good. And so is New Jersey, from what I understand. And those were the hot spots originally. But now, come on, people. We have to knuckle down with this thing. So, you know, we urge you, okay, to do what you're supposed to do. All right. So wear those masks. Please pay attention to social distancing and keep washing those hands. All right. Now, with that in mind, is what I want to bring up the virtues. All right. So the virtue is always pretty cool to start off with. And then I want to talk about this business about these police officers in Chicago real quick. So here's the virtues for the week. Don't be servile toward superiors or overbearing toward inferiors. So what does that mean? I mean, this goes back to the early 1900s. So don't be insubordinate, basically, to your superiors, and yet don't also be overbearing toward your quote unquote inferiors. Now, this is again, this is 1905. All right. Number two, don't whisper in company. Jamal, when you were younger, what did we always say? Don't whisper in company. It's impolite. It's rude. Now, this is one to me that's still around. I think that's one that people still do pay attention to. You agree, Jamal?
Oh, I agree with that. It could be deemed as rude.
Exactly. The last one, I really like the last one. Don't fail to notice elderly people. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Don't fail to notice elderly people. Now, there's some coaches out there that hold, you know, our elders in high regard. I'm not sure Americans may do that the same way, but I know like the Asian culture especially does it that way, that they're more known for it than many other cultures. Now, and that's not to say, don't be sending me any hate mail. That's not to say that other cultures and other, you know, cultures and individuals don't respect their elders, but it's always a good reminder to remember those things and helping them, assisting them, you know, all of those things. I mean, we were at the grocery store the other day and here was a guy that was helping an elderly lady because the shelf was a little bit too high. So she couldn't reach something and he was helping her reach the shelf.
And hey, I'm all for helping our elders, man, but I think there should be a law passed where our elders should not be able to drive during rush hour traffic in the mornings because that rush hour period, you know, between 7 and 9.
I don't know why you said that, Jamal. Now it brings a story to mind. I got to tell you this story, and who knows? I may have even told you at the time it happens. When I was working patrol one time, I was sitting on the side of the road, so to speak, and I was looking at my the computer in my car because I had a call. So I'm paying attention, and I had my flashing lights on, Jamal, which is the top lights over top of the car. The other lights, they were flashing, right? So there I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this car rides by and smacks my side view mirror on the driver's side, okay? And the person going by was so close to me that their mirror smacked my mirror. Now, Jamal, you know I have given seminars on age discrimination and diversity, and I tell people to be very patient with the elderly, okay?
Right.
So I turn around. I'm mad because this is a county vehicle and you don't know the paperwork. I've been in an accident at that point.
Right.
Okay. So I go after this person. I got the lights going. The person's not pulling over. I had to put the siren on finally to get this person to pull over. I pull over and I walk up to the car and Jamal, it's a senior citizen. I said, ma'am, you were just in an accident. She goes, what, Sonny? What did you say? I said, man, you were just in an accident. Didn't you hear the noise when your mirror smacked my mirror as you went by? Oh, I thought I heard something, but Tippy, she had this dog in her lap. Tippy jumped on my lap, and when he did that, I swerved a little bit. I said, well, when you did that, so now I'm in an automobile accident. And the first thing I thought about, Jamal, why do they let old people have driver's licenses?
Listen, man. There's 24 hours in a day. Can they just not drive between 7 and 9 in the morning? I love them. You know what I mean? But Agnes be holding up everybody. You know what I mean?
Man, the highway patrol had to come out because it's a county vehicle. So the highway patrol has to do the reports. Man, I was out there for hours, man. Well, her family finally showed up.
Because when she didn't pull over, how come you didn't hit her with the pit maneuver?
Well, Jamal, I figured I wouldn't take it that session. She finally saw the lights, you know, and the bullhorn saying, will you please pull over? So at any rate, so when you said that, it reminded me of that incident. But let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Okay, right. So look, the public service message with the virus, you know, please pay attention to that. Okay, look, I want to send a shout out to the Chicago PD. I know that in many jurisdictions right now, the police department is not very favored. And you already know my feelings on that. But just the other day in one day with these clashes, 49 police officers were injured by crowds throwing frozen water bottles at them, all kinds of nonsense. And the police chief was like, he's getting sick of this, quite frankly. And some of these other jurisdictions are going to get sick of it. These police officers are out there still trying to do their jobs. And that, quite frankly, they're fighting under horrendous conditions, to make a long story short. And, you know, basically, they're going to start doing what they have to do. They got, I don't want to use the expression, they got to start fighting back, but they're going to be put in a position where they got to start protecting themselves. There's just no choice in the matter. I mean, just as any individual is going to protect themselves from violence. And then it's going to be a bigger outcry with all this. But the reality is, what else are you expecting to do? Jamal, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Man,
one guy's eye socket was broken.
Right. You know, that's tragic. And I do believe, you know, everyone has a right to defend themselves, man. But when when you say something like that, man, like, you know, everybody has a right to defend themselves. Well, is everybody or just some people? Because, you know, bringing up Breonna Taylor again, you know, a no-knock search warrant, you know, gets served for something that ended up being, you know, nonsense. And
of course, accidents they get in trouble. Accidents happen. It's a dangerous business. I get it. Nobody has ever said it's a perfect system.
No, I didn't say it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he shouldn't have been arrested because he was just defending himself at the time. And I do believe that police officers do have the right to defend themselves also. I do.
There you know is what I a, mean? But keep in mind, there is a difference between him being arrested on that, Jamal, versus him being convicted of that, Jamal. Because remember, an arrest is only just that. I don't know. You know, the details on that?
Right.
I don't know which any of that.
Which is the interesting thing. I know we're going to move along, but just to be brief real quick, you know, they said that the reason why the warrant was executed is because he was receiving suspicious, that law enforcement received something saying that he's been receiving suspicious packages. And come to find out, the post office said, we never told them that. We never had a complaint about it. So now they're looking into where that came from.
Okay, now wait a minute. Well, okay, look. We don't know this guy's history, okay? But I know that I'm aware of the fact that somebody could report somebody about drugs, about selling drugs, as an example, Jamal. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Receiving stolen property. Somebody could have dropped the dime on this guy. We don't have all the facts yet, okay? And dropped the dime on this guy, so he was under a certain amount of surveillance. I don't know. Okay, right. I'm saying those are possibilities.
I'm just giving an update on the story. That's all in terms of why they were executing a warrant, and the post office said they never told the police that. So
it doesn't take them to do that. Okay, it could take something as simple as the fact that somebody ratted him out. Okay, somebody was arrested for something else and told him, hey, you know what? Let me tell you what's going on with this guy. So now they put him under surveillance.
No, I get that, but police have released statements saying that the post office had told them that, had reported to the police department.
The post office told them. Upset. Okay.
Yeah, the police said that, but the post office saying, like, no, we never told them that. So, I'm just giving an update on where that story is.
Maybe they didn't want to give up information on an informant. I don't know. Whatever the case may be.
Right.
Everybody's got a story to tell, Jamal. So what the heck, you know? Right. And before we get too deep into this, this is something else, Jamal, that you and I talked about, off the air, about this business about possibly asking the listeners that we want to do a survey to our listeners. Because the issue is about the Confederate statues being taken down because everything that goes back to the Civil War and racism. Remember that conversation?
Yeah.
Now come to find out that we get an inquiry from somebody that's asking about the name of the Democrats, because the Democrats, okay, according to this person, okay, that if they support taking down the Confederate statues, et cetera, what about the Democrats changing the name? Now, this came up on the news the other day because I saw it.
Right.
They're changing the name because of the fact that arguably, okay, the Democrats have a long history of fighting racism, which included the, you know, the Civil War, segregation, Jim Crow, all of those things were associated earlier on, okay, in history, okay, with the Democrats, including the KKK. So what they're saying is that if you want to reach back far enough and say, well, okay, and this came out on the news, this is not Jamal and I saying this, okay, and we want to ask the listeners their opinion, okay, should the Democrats change their name? Because they were the ones that were not anti-slavery. They were in favor of slavery and keeping slavery. So why not have them change their name? So I guess we'll put that out to the listeners. Send us an email, or if anybody wants to call with an opinion, that's fine too, to let us know your feelings. If we're going to be consistent, we're taking down the statues from the Civil War. What about the Democrats changing their name? So we're putting that out to the listeners. If you notice, we've not given an opinion. We're just asking you. Jamal, what do you think?
What is my opinion?
I'm not interested in you telling them that the Democrats are what the Democrats are due. Okay. But do you feel that that's... Go ahead.
Let me say this. Lately, the Democrats, definitely the left, has been pushing for a lot of name changes. Sports teams changing their names, high school changing their names. They've been in favor of bringing down Confederate statues, and things and monuments and things like that. It would only seem consistent that they would want to do the right thing too. So it doesn't seem like it should be one of those things like, y'all better do it. Oh, wait a minute, now it's your turn to do it. So it'd be interesting to see how they respond to this.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what the listeners have to see about it, because the inquiry we got also was about the 1924 Democratic National Convention that they nicknamed the Klan Bake, K-L-A-N Bake, as an example. And that was a big deal because the Ku Klux Klan was there in force, apparently. There was a whole lot of issues. And something else that I just learned that I think is very interesting, and that is, do you know that the first congressman or anybody to the Senate that were elected to the Southern state legislators were Republicans? 22 Republicans served in Congress by 1900. 22 black Republicans served. The first black congressman that was a Democrat, not until 1935. Yeah. That's a lot of years later. So that was just a fact that I picked up on that I thought was very interesting. So at any rate, it'll be interesting to see what the listeners have to say about that.
A lot of people don't even know that the Republicans helped start the NAACP also, which is a known fact.
Well, you see, and a matter of fact, the very first email today, I think it's the first one, has to do with the NAACP, Jamal.
Oh, coincidence.
And a lot of people don't even know what the NAACP means. National Advancement for the Association of Colored People is what that means. Now, we were raised in upstate New York. We were actually members of the NAACP. I mean, that was the thing that people did, you know. So right. this first email, and I got to be honest with you, Jamal, I didn't even know that. Yeah, I never thought about it, to be honest with you. But here's the first email. Jim, the NAACP president in Portland, Oregon, is now speaking out on the violence and wants to know what is it that the protesters want. They just keep protesting. People are begging them to stop, okay, to stop the violence. I think this is a form of domestic violence at this point, domestic terrorism, excuse me, at this point. Do you agree? Jess from Seattle. Jess, yes, I do agree. Now, look, you've got the NAACP president up there asking what the protesters want. So that tells me that, for those of you who don't know, the NAACP is a black organization, been around forever, all right? And so it's not just, from his perspective, it can't just be a black-white issue. There's other people involved. This is the point that we keep talking about, even between us on the air. There's Antifa. Antifa is involved up there. People don't understand that. That's not just black people up there that are protesting. So when he's asking these people, what do they want? He's speaking out to this group. They're anarchists. Now, some people, I've gotten emails where people say, and they could look it up, but people ask me questions sometimes, that what does Antifa mean? I mean, it's been all over the news. Antifa is short for anti-fascist. That's right, awesome. Jamal. That's right. Okay, and the term is used to define a broad group of people whose political beliefs lean toward the left, often the far left, but do not, in all fairness, do not necessarily conform with the Democratic Party platform. So let me put that in there. All right?
Right.
So I don't get any hang on. The group doesn't have an official leader.
But listen, I'm not in agreement with what's going on out there in Portland, Oregon?
Portland. We're talking about Portland. This guy, I'm sorry, Jamal. Let me back up. This guy is from Seattle, Okay. But he wrote in about Portland.
Oh, okay. Got it. But it don't even seem like this is even part of like the whole George Floyd incident. This seemed like a whole separate thing to me. You know, I don't know. I'm still not quite clear what's going on. I don't even know what they want and what they demand. But I will say this. I'm not going to call them a terrorist group, because why should we call them a terrorist group? And they don't even have the KKK down as a terrorist group. So why would
Okay. Let's back up. There are 900 and some odd terrorist groups that are listed in this country. And the KKK is one of them, Jamal.
It's a hate group. It's not considered a terrorist group.
That's true. That's not a hate group. But okay, I'll go along with that statement, Jamal.
Right.
I will go along with that statement. But I think that the difference is that when you start causing this kind of violence, because the question that Jess posed to me is that, is this a form of domestic terrorism? And in my opinion, yes, it is. Because when you start destroying things the way that these people are doing, people are dying the way people die, et cetera, the destruction of property the way this is, that is a form, in my opinion, of domestic terrorism. And if the people that are creating it, Jamal, that are doing this, then they, in fact, are domestic terrorists. There's no getting around it. One has to do with the other. We'll talk further about this. You know, we'll talk further about this. But Antifa positions can be hard to define because many members support oppressed populations and protest the amassing of wealth by corporations and the elite. Some employ radical or militant tactics to get their message across. Okay? And that's really what's going on. You got to understand this group. This group is not just a bunch of people getting together. These are individuals, Jamal, that are wearing. If people will look on the news, watch the guys that are wearing, like the black hoodies, the black sweatshirts, the black pants. Watch those people closely when you see the news. Those are the ones that are creating the destruction. Watch the other people standing around watching them, because you have people that are doing peaceful protests, but you have this group that will mix and mingle with them, and then they'll do things or incite these people. When you incite people to do things like this, Jamal, you are a terrorist. Now, you're not comfortable with that terminology. When was the last time the KKK, Jamal, to your knowledge, okay, was burning down buildings, okay, and the same thing that these people were doing? When was the last time in your lifetime that you have documented evidence of that?
In my lifetime? Oh, I mean, there's several cases of it. I mean, it's still active. Matter of fact, hold on. Just the other day, there was an incident. Within the last couple of weeks, there was an incident where they almost hung a black guy out there in the middle of the woods, and somebody happened to catch it. You know, that was
okay,
pretty recent.
Okay. You know what? When we're off the air, Jamal, I want to see that documentation. I want to see what you're talking about. But you're talking about the fact that they hung somebody or they're claiming that they hung somebody, whatever the case may be. My question to you was, when was the last time they were burning down buildings, looting, and doing all this destruction that we see up there that's going on?
I don't know. Any organization in America that's bombed churches and everything, I don't care if it was in the 60s, that they should have been labeled a terrorist group right back then and there.
Okay, so now you're talking about the 60s. I don't know that they weren't named a terrorist group back then, Jamal. We weren't talking about terrorism. You got to understand, the word terrorism has now developed, okay,
right,
more towards the last 20 years, we'll say, than what was going on back in the 60s, which was now 80 years ago. Oh, excuse me, 60 years ago. Okay, so we need to keep it into perspective for sure. All right? Right. So some of this business about what's going on. But let's go ahead and get to the second email, all right? Because this is an issue we can debate all day long. But I'm still going to – I want the research on what you were telling me about with this so-called lynching. Jim, it seems like the situation with China is really getting worse. We have thrown their people in Houston out, you know, thrown them out of their consulate, and now they have done the same to us in China. They were stealing medical and scientific research. These people cannot be trusted. They lied about the pandemic and have stolen secrets. They are a world threat. Do you think we need to take stronger measures against them? I do. And this is from George from Mobile, Alabama. George, here's the deal. When you say take stronger actions, we got to keep in mind now, all right? We got to keep in mind that nobody's going to go to war with China. We don't really want to go to war. The sanctions are what they're doing. So if you're asking me, should we take stronger measures? Okay. We can take stronger measures, but those measures have to be from a diplomatic side. We're not going to go to war with China over these issues. Now, whatever ends up happening happens. You know, throwing them out of the consulate in Houston, from what I understand, is that they had documented evidence that they're stealing the some of the scientific research, even for the vaccines for the virus, which I don't understand. I thought they were working on one over there. So I don't know, Jamal. Stronger measures against China? What's the deal?
Yeah, I think we should take stronger measures against China. I think we should start doing things like, well, our corporate industries have to get involved in it and start pulling out their factories and all of their stuff that they have China making over there and have the stuff made in America. If we're going to be patriotic, that's the first step in doing so. Bring all those jobs over here and stop trusting them to do stuff because it's cheaper labor and you can get it made cheaper. Are we patriotic or not?
Well, Jamal, in all honesty now, okay, I'm not getting deep into the politics, but that was one of the things that the current administration has talked about from day one. Okay, make it in America versus these things being made over in China. That's how he is trying to bring jobs back to this country, because it's true. You could look at things to see made in China, made in China, made in China. That's the exact point the current administration is making. And from what I understand, there's some success associated with that as well. So that is a good, strong measure, in my opinion. But the sanctions are important, too. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, the corporate greed has to stop, man. It has to stop. And it seems like they put that over, the American citizens, because so many people over here can use those jobs. And we have to figure out a way to bring those jobs back over here and stop dealing with a company just because it's cheaper and you get a good deal. Don't sell your soul for money, you know.
Well, it's called capitalism. People in business to make money. They're going to get, if they got to get a product made, Jamal, they're going to get that product made where it's cheaper. But that's a point that, like I said, that the current administration is making, that he feels we should bring these jobs back to America, the manufacturing jobs. And quite frankly, he has been successful with that. There are a lot of jobs being created because of the fact that he's been, harping on that since he got in office 3.5 years ago. So, I think that the sanctions are sanctions that do work. There's some countries that are really feeling the bite, like, Iran and some of these other countries that are feeling the bite behind sanctions, because when they don't have access to our banks and our monies and things of that nature, it hurts them. All right. So sanctions are good. That's a peaceful way of hurting a foreign government. You can't do it any other way unless you're going to go over there and start a war. And you're not going to go to war with China. But
are we in debt to China?
Probably.
Oh, well,
probably as a nation. Oh, who knows? I mean, I don't know that part of it, but I believe when you say, are we in debt to China? I mean, think about all the banks that China has over here, the loans that they've probably made to American citizens, Jamal. You take all that and put it together. Okay. Right. You say, are we in debt to China? I think that the answer is going to be probably to a certain degree, but see, that's all for, I heard something not too long ago where President Nixon, way back in the 60s, that Nixon said that we're going to turn China into a Frankenstein, going to turn him into a monster. Because way back then, when we were swinging all of these doors open, we didn't realize what was coming.
Right.
And here it is. He was right. So many years ago now. Right. Republican, by the way. But anyway. Just to give everybody a stand on what that is. So, yeah, are there problems there? George, do you think we should take stronger measures? I think we should. But they got to be along the lines of diplomatic means, not any kind of violence and things of that nature. Because here's the other message, Jamal, I think we need to make clear. We have people that are from China that live in this country that are good, upright citizens, have been forever and a day. Some of them have become American citizens as well. Some of them have been born in this country, et cetera. When the pandemic came out, one of the issues that people were talking about is every time people see somebody that appears to be of Chinese descent, they want to cross the street, as if this person is going to have COVID-19, so this, that type of, you know, reaction, in my opinion. So I want to make sure we fully understand that there are people living in this country from China or of Chinese descent that are good, honest, upstanding individuals, and they are not part of this other madness.
Not just China, but also just Asian, period, because we sometimes can't, you know, some people can't tell the difference between if they're Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, and things like that. But our Asian American citizens, you know, they have served our country also and fought in a lot of wars for our country, and they do work in law enforcement as well. So they should be treated with the same amount of respect as anybody else.
Well, I agree with that, Jamal, because we're talking about a difference between governments and we're talking about individuals. Right. Individuals, every individual in this company should be given and treated the right way, without a doubt.
Right.
Okay. Next one. Jim, did you hear about the woman who was arrested in Arizona for trying to help Al-Qaeda? I thought Al-Qaeda was all but gone. Do they still pose a threat? That's from Tim from Dallas, Texas. Tim, I guess the deal is that we've been working so much toward current events, and there haven't been as many. Well, there's been mass shootings. I gave the statistics last week. But look, we can never let our guard down, you guys, regarding this international terrorism. Don't think for a moment that these individuals are not preparing something. Al-Qaeda, just to refresh everybody's memory, the founder of Al-Qaeda was Osama bin Laden. Now, that movement is still around. Now, let me just tell you, okay, because I really haven't done that much in terms of talking about this on the air, but you guys know my background, but there are groups that are linked to Al-Qaeda and also ISIS. Now, those two groups really don't like each other, but both of them right now, I don't want to use the expression on the run, okay, but they're starting now to look at each other and to kind of partner up. So now they are getting together in the Middle East. They're working together to control a company across a part of West Africa. So now, West Africa. So now they're coming together jointly. So when you say, they are still going to be a threat. Trust me when I tell you. And we do have troops in West Africa as well. We got troops all around the world. But we even have American troops in West Africa, which means that I wouldn't be surprised in the next, 3 to 6 months, if we heard something that maybe some of our troop members got attacked over there. We can never discount the fact that these guys are completely gone. Don't ever let your guard down from that, because that's not the case. They will be around. Now, I will tell you also that according to one of the generals that's over there, the United States Military Special Operations in Africa, he's saying that the fighters over there appear to be coordinating attacks and carving out mutually agreed upon areas of influence. So what do? Areas of influence. That means they're gathering. We need to be careful, and we need to understand that, no, they are not going away. Is what they're doing is buying time to train. They are always training people. They are going to gather their forces. They are going to plot attacks, and they're ultimately going to reach, you know, out to international targets. So we just haven't heard it. Some of them might be recoiling from COVID-19 because we know it's around the world. But no, Tim, we understand they are not going away. They are still out there. And actually, there are even some suggestions that the attack on the Pensacola military base last December, that was also somebody that was kind of a follower, okay, of Al-Qaeda. In reference to this woman, yes, she was arrested because she was flying over to Syria. She hates the United States. She made that very clear, and she's an American citizen. She hates the U.S., and in fact, she was flying to Syria for, you know, who knows what, to make a long story short, and she was arrested. And if she was arrested, I could tell you the way that she was caught was probably with the use of the internet. Because if you guys have heard, the regular listeners have heard me speak before on this, we've talked about that on the, that the internet is what we use also to find people. So she's probably on the internet espousing all kinds of different things. Who knows? She may have sent money over there. I can't imagine they just arrested her because she bought a ticket to go to Syria. I don't think it's going to work like that. So, you know, I don't know, Jamal. Go ahead.
I never understand the concept of why we even accept these people back. There was that issue with the one guy who fought on the side of either ISIS or Al-Qaeda. I can't remember which group. And the family fought to have him back over here and said he was brainwashed. Look, man, I don't want to hear none of that, man. Once you decide to fight against our own U.S. troops and stuff like that and side with the enemy, you should not be allowed back over here. So well, no, she want to join them. She want to join them. Let her stay over there.
Yeah, well, until things get rough. Remember the woman that was out of the she was out of the South. I think it was Tennessee. She married two different men that were part of the part of a terrorist group. They both got killed. She wanted to come home. That was a big deal. Because the United States told her no.
That was one of the ones, too. They should have let her stay over there.
Right. But I think they ended up, you know, she got lawyers and she got this and that. Once they lawyer up, there's a whole different change in conditions is what ends up happening.
She was brainwashed.
She was brainwashed. Some nonsense. Okay. Okay, look, does Trump have the authority? Okay. The whole issue that we've heard is that Trump wants to send federal troops into Chicago because there's just too many killings going on in Chicago. He has said, you guys need to take care of this. You need to take care of this. You need to take care of this. This is not a new issue, okay? And he's saying that if they don't take care of it, he's going to send in either, you know, agents, whatever the case may be. Now, so the issue was, does he have the authority to do that? The answer to the question is yes, you guys. Under the Insurrection Act of 1807. Now, you look at that and say, 1807? Yes, in 1807, that was an act that was passed on March the 3rd, okay? Yeah, you know, on March the 3rd, okay? And the reality is that that's not the first time. This would not be the first time that troops are used. I turned around and did a little research on this. Thomas Jefferson, April 1808. Andrew Jackson, 1831. Andrew Jackson, 1834. Ulysses S. Grant, 1871. It's when this axe was used. I mean, I could go through and name other presidents throughout history. Rutherford B. Hayes, Grover Cleveland, Woodrow Wilson, 1914. Herbert Hoover, Franklin Roosevelt, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John Kennedy. John Kennedy, three times. Lyndon Johnson, four times. George Bush. Okay, 1989 and 1982.
Did what? They sent troops into a city?
Yes, they sent troops into a city for different reasons. As a matter of fact, in 1894, Grover Cleveland sent troops into Chicago because of a strike by the Pullman Porters. Now, Jamal, you don't know who the Pullman Porters are, or do you?
No.
Okay, the Pullman Porters were black. They became one of the they had one of the strongest unions in the country at one point. They were called the Pullman Porters. They rode the trains, okay? And Pullman, after the Civil War, hired a lot of these guys that were slaves before because they were used to serving whites. So he hired them to work on the trains, okay? So that's why they call them the Pullman Porters. Man, I'm telling you, they became so strong that the other unions, like the major unions, were trying to get them to blend, and they told them no. It wasn't until either the 1950s or the 1960s that the Pullman Porters finally joined one of the major unions. And again, that's Chicago right there.
In 1992, I also witnessed the troops coming to my town of Los Angeles, California, during the riots. You know, that was kind of a sight to see. I remember seeing military helicopters, and that's a little different because that's somewhat of a riot. That's martial law is martial law. But I'm personally, you know, I haven't been the biggest fan of 45, but I actually really like this movement. I think that this is a good thing to do. You know, the killing is out of control. I mean, you know, so if the mayor can't do it, then somebody else, and the governor can't do it, then somebody has to step in and do it. And, you know, Trump has been taking a lot of slack, man, for, like I said, I haven't been the biggest supporter, but at the same time, you know, people have called him a racist, say he don't like black people. Well, who's getting killed in Chicago? It's a lot of black people, a lot of black kids. Matter of fact, it's all black people and black kids that's getting killed over there, and he's trying to put an end to that violence. So clearly he does care. And I think this is a great move. I mean, there's babies getting hit in their own, sleeping in the comfort of their own bed, you know? So I think this is terrible, and something like this needs to be done.
Okay, I think we have a caller on the line. Do we have a caller on the line? You're live with Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment to share?
No, I was just sort of listening in at this point.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, very good. We're just finishing up and wrapping it up about the Insurrection Act of 1807 as to whether or not, while you're a caller, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the President of the United States, I'm going to assume that you've been listening to the news about everything that's going on right now in Chicago. Do you think that the president should send troops into Chicago to help bring that situation under control with all of these killings? What's your opinion?
I think he should. I think that Chicago isn't handling it. I don't think that Seattle or Portland are handling it. And obviously they need a little help, or at least the National Guard or something to that effect.
Well, under the Insurrection Act of 1807, they can send either the military in, okay, in terms of the actual troops, or they could do the National Guard because he's commander in chief. So the regular active army, so to speak, or he could send in the National Guard. And as I was just talking with Jamal about, it's actually been done 22 times. Even once in 1831, Jamal, Nat Turner's slave rebellion, they sent in troops under the Insurrection Act because they looked at that as being insurrection.
Right.
You know, they had all of these slaves that were, you know, that were killing and doing what they did.
I believe in Chicago, they're not sending in troops. They're just sending in federal agents, and that's what they're going to do. And right. Personally, I wish they set up a whole bunch of cameras around there so we could all watch it live go down, man, and watch the cleaning up of Chicago. Because, I mean, was it 15 people were shot at a funeral in Chicago? Women, yeah. Children? I mean, if you ask me, it's so disgusting. What makes them any different than Al-Qaeda or ISIS, if you ask me? I think those guys are terrorist groups.
Now we're back to the domestic terrorism, Jamal.
Yeah, and I think those acts of just are acts of terrorism. Shooting up a funeral, man, like, you know, it's out of control.
It's totally out of control. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, lives are being lost every sinking day.
Absolutely.
Don't see that Mayor Lightfoot is doing anything. She's blaming it on everybody but her own incompetence, as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with that.
I would even say that Mayor Lightfoot, she needs to step down from her job because she clearly is not doing her job. And she tried to, you know, say a lot of things about Trump. She went from you having 80 people killed over a weekend, and then you complained about something as simple as Trump wearing a mask. You know, those two don't even compare. Why are you even bringing that up? You got people dying from gunshot wounds. And you bring it up, Trump wearing a mask, those things are irrelevant compared to the problem that you have. She really is not focusing on her job, not enough.
Well, no. we got a few minutes left. And what I want to do is talk about the St. Louis couple, Jamal, also, and to the caller. I'm assuming that you guys have both heard about the shooting, St. Louis couple that's now been arrested because during one of the protests, they were brandishing weapons on their own property, and now it appears that they have actually been charged as a result of that. And I don't know. To me, I still say that they're on their own property. They didn't shoot at anybody, and they have these different laws that are in place. You know, specifically, they got the Castle Doctrine that says the individuals have the right to use reasonable force, including deadly force, to protect themselves against an intruder in their home. And there's actually laws in at least 25 states that allow that there's no duty to retreat when an attacker in any place in which one is lawfully present. And then the self-defense laws, there's 23 of them, where in fact they talk about the fact that they provide civil immunity under certain self-defense circumstances. I don't know. Caller, what do you think? I mean, should they have been arrested?
Oh, absolutely not. The gun could have been confiscated as evidence or whatever, but as far as I'm concerned, I mean, in hearing what the couple had to say, in that they were threatened with their house being burned, their animals being killed, I'm going to sleep in that bedroom after I kill you, and that kind of thing, I can't say that I wouldn't have behaved any differently. They had, as far as I'm concerned, a justifiable fear. And they're on their own property where other people have broken down the gate there and made life-threatening statements. So I don't see that there's an issue there.
Were those
actually they said that they didn't break the gates down. I think the gates were open. They were going to the mayor's house who lived in the same area. Right. I'm sorry, Jamal. Jamal?
So they weren't even going to this couple's house at all. So why did they even come outside with guns on their property and they wasn't even going to their house? I don't understand that.
Jamal, fear. You're talking about a lot of, I don't remember everybody in the video, but there was a lot of black people. The people are watching the news, Jamal, and they're seeing riots and things being destroyed. Okay. And there are those people out there. I'll put it plain. These Caucasians probably were fair. Okay, that these black people were going to come in there and start destroying stuff. I'm just telling you, flat out, that's probably what they thought. Didn't mean they were right.
I thought when people are in fear, they stay inside their house and barricade themselves in and hunker down. Well, and really, in the videos I saw, they was walking right past their house. Nobody was jumping on their lawn. I didn't see anybody even really say a whole lot to them. And I think they went to jail, like I said, for brandishing a firearm. If their weapons was in a holster, nobody wouldn't have a whole lot to say to them.
But I don't think that it's against the law, and I'll be the first one to say I'm wrong in this, to brandish a weapon on your own property. I think once you step foot off that property, then you're in for a world of doo-doo.
And that's exactly what's getting ready to happen, okay? Because here's the deal. Because I did some research on this to make sure about what the current status is. Let me tell you something, Jamal. They're sitting up here talking about these people just have to take a course in a diversion program. And if they do that, they're going to drop the charges against them. It's all going to be dismissed. That tells me that this is political. They arrested these people for politics because they're going to let them do a diversion program. Say, okay, here's what you do. You take this course, okay? And after you take that course, all the charges will be dismissed. They won't do a day in jail, Jamal. They won't do anything. They're both attorneys and they're not going to lose their license. So what are they going to probably do? They're probably going to do the diversion program because they're not going to chance losing their. And I don't know. I'm not part of their defense team. I don't know. But I guarantee you that's probably what they're going to do.
Probably so.
No, I'm sure. But I do agree with Jamal. If I see a couple hundred people on my front lawn, and I don't care what the heck color they are, and they're a mob and they're going whatever, I'm probably going to hunker down my house. But if anybody comes through the door, then my actions will be different.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to go out in jeopardy out in the open and say, hey, move along. That's just asking for a problem. But that's poor judgment. And like you said, Mr. Potts, fear will drive people to do the craziest of things.
Well, let's talk about Missouri law real quick. We only got a minute or two left. So let's talk about Missouri law. Missouri law defines felony unlawful use of a weapon as when a person exhibits in the presence of one or more persons any weapon readily capable of lethal use in an angry or threatening manner. The sentencing range, if convicted, of probation up to 7 years in prison. A misdemeanor assault is defined when a person purposely places another person in apprehension of an immediate physical injury. And that sentence is probation of 15 days in jail. So that's the law that they are using against these two people right now. That's Missouri law.
There you go.
Showing the weapon or threatening with the weapon, even though it's on their own property.
Okay. But here's where it's going to be. Our time is up. Let me just say this. Missouri law defines felony use of a weapon when a person exhibits and presents one are readily capable of lethal use. But it says felony unlawful use. So I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. In my opinion, watch. They're going to take the diversion program. That's what they're going to do. And the thing is going to be dismissed. That's what I think. All right. Well, hey, caller, we appreciated you calling in and everything. Jamal, we're out of time. And as usual, it was great talking to you about some of these things. And we want to thank everybody for listening in. And once again, it's time to close out the show. Be sure to join us next week. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, be safe and wear those masks. Take care, everybody. Bye. Bye, Jamal.
Later.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.